Well, here's old Judy Duke yet again on this fine Monday afternoon with Local Matters. And boy, do I have a hottie in the studio with me today.
Two hotties in the studio together.
If it wasn't for you calling me a hottie and me calling you a hottie, I don't know what we'd do.
I know, right?
This is a repeat, but there's a reason for having Mr. Lewis Matheny in here with me today. Lewis, welcome yet again.
Thank you. Yet again. I always love, you know, here we are on the radio, whether it's here or the times we were at the Cookeville History Museum or when I was a young whippersnapper looking up to you as somebody that I thought was just an articulate, amazing actor. Yeah, I so looked up to you in theater.
Did you really?
Oh, I sure did.
Oh, my goodness. I was pretty good, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were pretty good. And I said this the last time you and I interviewed, that there comes a point in your life where you just don't get what the person's age is anymore. You know, and I am still basically that 14-year-old kid, and I don't know what our difference in age is, but I just looked up to you as I had some kind of crush
That's
on you.
Very
You're
sweet.
20, you're a professional, you're a great actor. I talked about last time that I was lucky to work with Jerry Henderson in professional theater. So I looked to the luminaries around me to just watch and see who acted well. You know, I was a fan of acting and fan of film in a way.
And you've done both now.
I have, yes.
In your life. Professionally.
Yes. Yeah. Commercials, as far as film goes, extra work. I could tell you three films I've been in that you would love that I got dumped on the editing room floor on. My first extra work I did actually in a film was a great little film that Disney did, and I was an extra in it, but I got to have the main thing for me that was so exciting. I got to have lunch with Ernest Borgnine and Eva Marie Saint.
That'll work.
Oh, that was all I needed. But in the meantime, we all piled in there in front of what they called the AD, the person that would place you in scenes. And we were in a restaurant scene. And I was hoping to get to be a busboy or waiter that passed back and forth by the table every couple of minutes, whether I said anything or not. And instead, they put me outside the window with Venetian blinds and had me walk back and forth to make the street scene look busy. But, you know, it was my start.
Hey,
so
that was your start.
You got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Having Lewis in the studio again today is an honor for me, and because I've known your family the Matheny family for a long time. They go way back here in this area.
Yes.
Especially in Overton County.
Yes. In what was Overton County is where the Mathenys and my grandmother's side of the Phillips were from, and the Matheny boys were all crazy about the Phillips girls back then and just lived enough across the fence that they could jump back and forth. And my grandfather kept making the jump back and forth across the fence to the point that he finally wooed this young gal's heart. And as they say, the rest is history. But the history, as you and I have talked about, goes back so much further, and one that I just feel like I have to continue, love doing. And that is preserving the history that was made by our ancestors. As you and I know,
right,
we were just farmers. We had no prestigious position in terms of government or, say, money people by any stretch of the imagination. But this set of Matheny farmers, along with several other people in the area, petitioned the Tennessee State Legislature to help form Putnam County. So when I go back and say, look, we helped form Putnam County.
The first time or the second time?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer.
I would say
that
the first time, because, see, Overton, White, and Jackson actually took land from what would become Putnam County.
Right, okay.
So, and that was in 1842.
Okay.
Then in 1854 is when Richard Fielding Cook, who was our representative for all these little counties, they dissolved it the first time, by the way, in 1842. Yes, it was dissolved because your ancestry complained, along with people from White County and Jackson County. I don't blame them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the land was, that was it. You had to have land. I mean, land was land back then. It still is. I guess. Location.
Right.
Anyway, then in 1854, they wanted to reestablish it, and that's when Richard Fielding Cook was in the legislature, and he brought the bill up, and it passed, and then Putnam County came.
I've always said it takes at least two people to get one, you know, story right, whether it's a memory or a bit of, you know, history. And you know, part of the fascinating part, the aspect of putting together this log cabin. You and I have talked before about the fact that I took apart a log cabin that once sat in Overton County, but eventually was Putnam and was lived in by my great uncle until 1967. As I found out that a local real estate developer had purchased the land and was going to tear everything down, I asked them if I could just come in and either pick it up. I thought at the time I might be able to put it on a flatbed and carry it out, or take it apart by hand. And that was the option I had, was take it apart by hand. And we were not allowed any heavy machinery. So it was myself and grunt laborers. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I kept journals for a while, and I thought, I'm just doing the reverse of what somebody had done, you know, with just basic hand tools. And, but I've just, it's just an obsession of mine. I just couldn't stand the idea that this thing would be burned to the ground or bulldozed to the ground, especially considering that it was one of the older structures in Putnam County.
A man after my own heart, you see, because that's, and I've said this on radio before, that it's, we've got to teach this younger generation to save history.
Yes.
And yes. I know you still have that log cabin.
Yes.
Talking with Lewis Matheny, formerly of Cookeville, of New York, of Stockton, Connecticut.
New Jersey.
Stockton, New Jersey, yep. Chicago, Illinois, and now Cookeville, back here in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
You always come back to your roots.
Yes. And to answer the question so many people have, are you staying at your aunt's house? Are you going to set up something in the way of a living space and do something with your aunt's property? And the answer is, I'm buying my aunt's house, you know.
I was privileged to know that you were going to buy Aunt Jean and Uncle Carol's house.
Yes.
A beautiful out off Three Hill Road.
Yes.
And there's quite a bit of land now. Are you going to do something with that log cabin here in Cookeville?
Yes. I have actually moved the log cabin to property that I bought years ago. And it's just always been a back burner project for me. You know, there are enough other priorities where I always meant for it to be sort of a hobby. They allowed me 6 months, 1 week at a time, to take it apart. So, you know, I took my time getting it apart. And then for years it sat in storage, and I was looking for the right land. And weirdly, the thing is, the people that lived in that cabin were Phillips. That was my grandmother's maiden name. And I found property off of what's called Phillips Road. So it's due, as we say, by the crow flies, it's due west of Hillham Highway, where it sat near Bangham. Straight over to off of Dodson Branch Road.
Beautiful country out in there.
It's so beautiful. Yeah.
And really after is. Having lived in New York, it's even more beautiful.
It is. It is.
I mean, I know you love New York. You will always love New York.
Yes. Yeah.
It's in your blood.
Yeah.
But so is Middle Tennessee.
You know, it's so funny. This business, everybody, I think, feels more comfortable in life when they have a category for themselves and others. I mean, I see that with a lot of people, and I have not been able to. I don't particularly care to categorize myself, and I've never figured it out. And I think life should be full of mystery. So when people say to me, are you really a country boy or are you really a city boy? My answer is yes. I'm really a country boy or I'm really a city boy.
Right.
Love both. There are times that I'm in New York where I look at, you know, we've lived in some higher floor spaces in the last couple of years, and I look out my window at these rivers of red, which are the taillights of the cars, and those are my rivers, and the buildings are my tall canyons and trees, you know. And I learned early on from somebody when I first moved to New York and was living poorer than dirt. A friend had invited me out for a couple of days out of New York City, and it was free, just jump in the car, ride out. And I thought, well, I, you know, could work a few extra hours. And somebody said to me, listen, if you can ever get time off, and especially in your first year or two that you're in New York, leave New York, because you have to get away from it. So I have to have that balance, you know.
Yes.
I love my peace and solitude here, and then I get completely reinvigorated and inspired when I go to New York City, and it's that balance for me. And I've always sort of gone that extreme. Thank God they didn't medicate kids when I was in school in the 60s.
You would have been medicated.
Oh, I mean, my third grade teachers just put me in a desk in the hallway, you know, to keep me away from the other kids.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, I was always, you know, you and I have talked about this before, that I always wanted to put on an extra project, and every teacher had to tell the next teacher up when Lewis Scott, as they would call me then at the time, comes to you with an idea for something, whether it's a play, just let him do whatever it is he wants to do, or your life will be miserable. And I was an early reader, And that was problematic, and I didn't mind it. Yeah, I think it's my third grade teacher tells the story that she left the room for about 5 minutes to go get pencils, and when she came back in the room, I was standing on the desk with all the kids' desks pushed back and conducting a game or something, and they thought, okay, we've got to separate him.
You know, and I have told this to Lewis before we take a break, before I say this to his face, he's one of the biggest and best prima donnas I know. And I can see you up there directing. Of course, there's a lot of us that have that instinct in us, you know. Yeah. But I love it when Lewis takes charge of something, because he can put on, and I know you've put on many, many parties and big, like 600 plus
events,
planner. Yes. And he's just one of these multi-talented fellas, you know. He takes down log cabins, and he's an event planner for thousands of people in New York City. Go figure.
Well, I just weirdly, there's something I've figured out now at 58 that has not ever changed, and I don't know if it's going to change. It's just sort of when I get an idea, I'm going to do it. The log cabin started 10 or 12 years ago, and this isn't a blame or a, you know, wearing my heart on my sleeve or shoulder, but the moment I bought the land to rebuild the cabin is when my Aunt Jean got sick. Yep. So you better believe that the log cabin just sat. I'm just like, you know, log cabin is great, but I have somebody who was my mom to take care of. That's however long it takes, I'm going to do that. Everything got put on the back burner.
And you did.
I did. And I'm happy I did.
I commend you.
Thank you, my dear.
For taking care. Well, you took care of your aunt and your uncle.
Yes.
And so talking with Lewis Matheny, and we will be back in just a minute. So support our sponsors.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Now, Lewis, when you were here before, we were discussing another project that you've been working on for a while, a new museum in town, the Putnam
Drive-In
Theater Museum. Yes. I was there on more than one occasion,
right?
In a truck and in a car.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been that long, doesn't seem to me like, since they tore it down.
Right. Yeah. No, it hasn't been that long. Yes and no. It's weird how time flies. And then suddenly I came here in 93 when the property was up for sale. That's when it went up for sale. And Eldon Leslie at the time owned it. And I hired actors and brought in vintage cars and did arguably what was the only professional photo shoot. I was a photographer at the time in New York and doing quite well. And the one photograph I'd taken at the shoot, I was asked to donate for an exhibit. There was a benefit exhibit in New York City called The Photography of the 20th Century. And I was very, I never can decide which the word is, humbled or honored, but just in shock and grateful. For me, the first word is grateful. And you and I talked about that last time.
We did.
When I get up first thing in the morning, I say two things. And one is, let gratitude be your attitude and show me who the message bringer is. So should I bump into somebody during the day that I'm kind of a little friction, or they're bringing a little something negative into my life? Instead of going, hey, you know, you're really bugging me, I just say to myself, you ask to be shown who the message bringer is. And maybe the message is that you have a happier, you know, more content life on a day-to-day basis than this person. So this person really is deserving of your empathy. But But yeah, the museum for me is based on my love of film and history, and the idea that that was once our community. We so came together in ways that I think we're just starting to figure out how to do again. I think a lot of people are looking for more, for lack of a better word, I almost hate using it here, organic, but a real down to earth experience that doesn't involve staring at a
phone or an iPad or computer screen.
And that, you know, we were saying before, you were saying prima donna. I mean, for me, it was also like, let's not all be alone. Let's come together. So I've always been a party thrower forever and an event planner. But, you know,
you have to be a prima donna to do that.
Yeah. Well, right.
You have
to
be self-assured. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And for me, it's also, you know what? It's also, I want everybody to have a good time. The idea that somebody would be alone on a night I love the idea of pulling a group of people together. And, you know, looking back at my just insane energy I had as a kid in elementary school.
What do you mean that you had? You still have.
Well, I still have. You're okay. Which I still have at 58, thankfully. And if you've been around my dad lately, you know, he's 86 and now going on about 60 and acts about 30. And he's, you know, I said to him in 93 when I came down to shoot that drive-in, you ought to buy that. One day, drive-in movie theaters will come back. And he had no idea. None of us knew at the time. White County, you know, Sparta at least. Yep. Hung onto theirs. But anyhow, I landed in the fitness industry quite by accident in my early years in New York and had a 15-year career in it and loved it. I was a personal trainer. I was a provider of continuing ed to other trainers and helped manage a very large fitness department. And lo and behold, a couple of years ago, I ran across my report cards from elementary school. And for second grade, I don't even know if they still have phys ed at school, but for physical education under phys ed, where you got out and exploded and played games, second grade simply says, I believe Lewis loves this class most of all. And third grade says, Lewis loves phys ed, but he needs to learn that he is a student and not the teacher. So the imprint was there at a very early age. And I discovered that now. I see kids now. I have friends who have kids that are 4 and 5, and I look at that. And I'm saying, I know what that personality is going to be like as an adult now, you know, so. But that's part of what I was saying about why, you know, I look at you and I go, you know, I feel like I'm 14 around you and you're that 20-something. I have no idea the difference in our age, but you're that 20-something-year-old, you know, gorgeous, young, talented person that you always were. But it's age is catching up with all of us, and it's a fact of life. And I'll probably go to 104 like my cousin just turned this last year.
Still going.
Oh, my gosh.
I've met your cousin. She's a little piece of work, boy.
She really is, yes.
I told you when we started this afternoon that I had a repeat visitor here in the studio, and there's a reason for that, and I'd like to share it with you. At this time, I am going to be stepping down as a host here on Local Matters. As a matter of fact, today is going to be my last on-air program. And Mr. Lewis Matheny, my friend, is going to be taking my place on Local Matters. And I think that's delightfully wonderful, Lewis.
I do, too. And as you said, I've been talking about it between you and the radio station for a week. It just hit me that it's really happening.
Yes,
And it's a great opportunity. And I have a lot of gratitude to you and the station for considering me for doing this.
It's been a great ride for me. You're talking about your second grade teacher saying, you know, that you liked phys ed class. Yeah. Well, mine always had a star that said, Judy likes to talk. All the time. And I got my only ever whipping in school was second grade. When the teacher had asked me not to talk in the water line. I think it's not humanly possible for me to not talk. So anyway, I am delighted that you're going to come in. And Lewis has a background here in the Upper Cumberland, but he's also traveled quite a bit to all over the United States, and has homes in different places. But you are going to be here in Aunt Jean's house.
Yes.
And Uncle Carol, who were delightful people. And they had frequent guests in the evening when they were alive.
Yes.
They had trained raccoons.
Yes.
And fed them food, morsels of food that they would actually climb up the raccoons.
Two stories.
To the level they lived on. And it had a deck.
Yes.
And the door stayed open.
Yes.
In the warm part of the year.
Yep.
And Aunt Jean and Uncle Carol would feed the raccoons.
Yes.
And they just walked right in there and sat down and looked up at them.
No, and it was fascinating. And, you know, when I would go over there, I would realize that with this voice that I have, you know, the bass, the resonance, they didn't want anything to do with that. Also, the new smell, you know, as animals, you know,
strange
very
smell.
Sensitive. And then there's really a connectivity that I can't explain. I don't know the answer to it. But the raccoons were one of many animals that they cared for over the years. My uncle would get up before the crack of dawn. My aunt said I hated, you know, the idea of getting up before the sun would come up and stand outside. And, you know, if your readers, your listeners, I'm sorry, could envision one hand in the air with a finger for a bird to light on and the other with a scoop of bird seed. He would be hand feeding these birds in the morning before dawn, and they had deer they fed every night, and they brought animals.
They loved the outdoors.
Well, they very much they love nature, and when they first got married, prior to getting married, they were so ingenious that I don't even want to say ingenious. They just they had great instincts, and they made a list of their differences and a list of what they had in common, and their list of differences went on for three full pages. Mm-hmm. As I think I've said before, and they read that aloud and said, they said, we're going to read this one last time, and we're never going to use this during a fight. And their list of what they had in common barely filled half a page, and they just spent the rest of their life nurturing the list of what they had in common. And the first thing was nature.
Yep.
And they took off on their honeymoon. They had an early morning, Sunday morning wedding. She didn't want a lot of people there. And they headed by car to Louisiana. She just wanted to go. She wanted to go see where the Mississippi entered the Delta, and that was her. And so it all, everything revolved around nature with them, you know. And they bought this. They actually bought extra lots in this what was being developed as a subdivision called DeBerry Heights. Mm-hmm. And I always assumed that for all those years, all that woods behind, including the spring. And the cave at the back were my uncle's, and it wasn't his originally. He found the farmer who'd moved further on out of town and asked for the 3 acres. So it's really one of the only 5-acre lots in an otherwise, you know, quarter acre, half acre subdivision.
Right.
And the cave, as you, I think we've talked about.
We have talked about the cave. There's a cave there.
Yeah, cave in the spring, which once was the water supply for Dixie College.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is amazing.
History. Oh, history.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, really is.
Well, Lewis, well, we're running out of time, sweetheart.
I know. Well, but I said this to you privately, and I want to say this on the air to listeners, that you have to make a promise that you'll be back to come in and visit and let me chat with you, or you step in anytime you feel like it and say, I'd like to get on the air, and you go take a break. That was one of the stipulations I said at the very beginning. Only if I'll say yes to this, knowing that Judy can come back anytime she wants. So this isn't goodbye, please.
No, right? I appreciate that very much, Lewis. I want to take just a little personal moment here with you in the studio and to tell you folks that you're in for some fun. Lewis is in all by himself. He could do 1,000 shows, and he would never get covered everything he can talk about and people he's been with and know and that sort of thing, and people here in the Upper Cumberland. But I do want to say it's been a great ride. I want to thank Stonecom Radio for reaching out to me and for all of their help. I don't know that I'm a radio personality, but Lewis, you have a beautiful you've got the face for radio. What can I say?
Thank you.
As these radio people say, you've got a beautiful voice. I hope you folks will continue to listen to Local Matters at 5:30 Monday through Friday. And Lewis will be with you as I've been on Monday afternoons. And, I'll come back.
Great.
When I start getting into politics and run for an office.
Oh, my God. You've got my vote. I'm going to go print my Judy for President t-shirt right now.
I'm afraid that won't ever be. But thank you for the offer, and I do appreciate it very much. And thank you for your willingness to come in and let me tell the listeners out there that have been very faithful to listening to Local Matters?
It's a very mutually beneficial thing, and I just feel like I'm taking the torch from you for now.
You are.
You know, thank you.
And I am honored to give it to you.
All right.
It's been great fun, folks. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm going to say, I'll see you when Lewis calls me and wants me to come back in and say a few words. But until then, God bless you and bye-bye.